Rabinowitz thing out in Wisconsin has worried me more than any single appointment. I appointed him because they told me he'd been your lawyer and that Kennedy had a commitment, and that I didn't want any Kennedy commitment not to be honored. And I didn't know anything about him. I appointed him, and it went before the committee, and they worked to try to get it out, but they never could get it out. They have it blocked. They've got it blocked now, and they're going to keep it blocked. I've checked it pretty carefully. They tell me they will not confirm him. I have gone over the FBI since the Walter Jenkins episode and some other problems here, and the FBI is pretty universally bad on him. And the bad part of it is that it comes from judges now on the bench that are, good many of whom are Democrats. Most of them say that they do not think it can give him a fair trial. Most of them say things that I wouldn't even want to repeat, but I have gone over it with both the senators. And they didn't, they both for him, but when they heard it, why, they immediately started suggesting Reynolds. I didn't want to appoint Reynolds for a good many reasons, although I'm not personally against him. He's been a rather inoffensive fellow with me. He has been, I didn't consider him a fellow that I would want in my cabinet any more than our man that I would want to be my appointee, particularly any more than maybe you would want to put a congressman from Texas on your board. I just had this feeling. I asked him to get me the three ablest and best and most socially conscious lawyers that they could, that I could consider and objectively name a top flight man. They come up, and the net of it is Proxmire will not recommend anyone except Reynolds. He just says he won't give me three. He's just adamant about it. I suggested that they give some choice consideration to a fellow named Fairchild and a fellow named Wilkie that Governor Nelson had appointed to the Supreme Court, who have a very high rating and are considered very fine, good, democratic, socially conscious lawyers, enough that he named them to the Supreme Court, which would give me a good record. A few of the little Kennedy cult like to make it appear that I'm a cornpone, a guy that doesn't recognize excellence. So I want my appointees to be the best quality that I can get. Well, Nelson...
way to do it. You'd never be wrong if you do it that way.
Nelson comes along and says that this would create a vacancy for Republican governor, and he won't consider them, and he won't recommend anybody. That he would go along with Rabinowitz, or he would go along, he doesn't want Rabinowitz, he would go along with Reynolds, but what he wants is Doyle. Doyle is a great Adlai Stevenson man. I don't know Doyle. I would like to get it from somebody that's not involved at all, but that is not with any factions, because I don't want to antagonize the Kennedy people or the Stevenson people or the Ruther people. I got a man that's completely objective, it's independence, to study the whole file. He writes me this memorandum last night. He said, the unfortunate Rabinowitz affair makes it very important to act promptly and with great care. There is real concern in Wisconsin. Senator Proxmire tells us he'll not recommend anyone except Reynolds. However, he informed the Attorney General he will send in his blue slip immediately if Doyle is nominated, and approve him and will not be affronted. Senator Nelson has recommended both Reynolds and Doyle, but he tells us that Doyle is his real choice. Immediately after, John Macy, Chairman of Civil Service, called Nelson to get his views on Fairchild and Wilkie. Nelson called the Attorney General asking what was wrong with Doyle, and he said he would oppose anyone except Rabinowitz, Reynolds, or Doyle. Nelson appointed Fairchild and Wilkie to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Evidently, he thought they were top lawyers. If either were now appointed to the U.S. Court, the Republican governor would name their replacement. Fairchild is probably not interested in any event in the trial court. Doyle is very well qualified. He would be well received by the entire bar, by the press, and by the public. It'd be very difficult and time-consuming to find someone as well qualified as Doyle, and we would then risk further friction with Proxmire and Nelson and Reynolds in what is already a very tangled political situation. Doyle was administrative assistant law clerk to former Supreme Court Justice James Byrne. Additional inquiry in the area will further agitate. I've checked the situation with a very close personal friend on the Supreme Court of Wisconsin. He's a Reynolds appointee, and he was his roommate in college. He's from the same town as Doyle, Madison, who is his campaign manager. And he says that Doyle is a very good, he's Reynolds' campaign manager. He says Doyle is a very good lawyer. He's as good as can be found. His nomination would be well received, that there's no one who could better satisfy the damaged political relations except Reynolds. I recommend that we obtain final FBI clearance, an ABA bar rating, and that you nominate Doyle as soon as clearance is obtained. Okay? Question mark. Yes or no? Now, I really have, I may be wrong on some of these things, and my problems, I said in my State of the Union, is not doing what's right, it's knowing what's right. I thought in the light of the fact you'd been involved, you might know something about it, but I better see what you did know and what your hunches were.
Yeah. Well, first of all, on Rabinowitz, I would, if you called me on that, I would tell you that I will not lift a finger on that. That I am not the kind of person who feels that I should do anything to help his appointment. If you appointed him, I would not be angry, but I will not intercede to get you to appoint him.
Well, I did appoint him and gave him...
He had a commitment, not with us, but with Kennedy.
Yeah.
And when they delivered on their commitment, that was their business, but I would not intervene in order to deliver on their commitment.
That's right.
I don't think Rabinowitz is a top person. He's just one of our, you know, third-rate lawyers out handling small things and areas.
Well, I delivered for 9 months, and he had his chance, I think.
I know you did, and I think that the Kennedy people, see, Bobby called me on this, and I just told him, no, I wouldn't do it, because as far as I'm concerned, I am incapable of doing something I think is wrong, and I just was unwilling to push Rabinowitz, because I didn't think he was the best person.
Yeah. All right.
So on that one, I think that you've delivered on their commitment. He failed to get clearance, and they can't hold that you responsible for that. Now, I think the thing you ought to do is to appoint the person around whom Proxmire and Nelson can agree. And if Doyle is that person, that's the way I would move.
Well, they both want Reynolds.
I understand.
But Reynolds is a defeated governor there that I have other problems with, and I don't even know Doyle. Do you know Doyle?
Well, I know him, you know, in a very general kind of way. I know Reynolds better, and I know Nelson and Proxmire, of course, extremely well.
Now, what is your evaluation of Reynolds?
Well, as a lawyer, I wouldn't be able to give you an evaluation.
Yeah, that's my feeling, and
it seems to me that if other lawyers whom you have confidence in feel that he's qualified, then I think you have to accept their judgment.
What?
I think you have to take care of a fellow like Reynolds in some other area other than the judiciary.
Yeah. That's my judgment. That's exactly the way I feel about it. That's the way I want to look 50 years from now. I don't want to have a bunch of ex-mayors and ex-governors on my Supreme Court.
Exactly. And I'm in your corner 1,000% on that.
All right. Now, the second thing on the Steele strike. What do you know about Steele? Is Abel going to win or McDonald, or what's going to happen?
That's going to be very close. And as I told you originally, I think you and I, and we all have to stay out of that one.
Yeah.
Only get burned.
Yeah.
And we can't make a contribution.
Yeah.
I think that that as of now, the thing is very close, and the outcome will depend almost entirely upon how effectively each side mobilized their support in terms of getting them out to vote. It could go either way, and I think that delaying their negotiations lots of this thing is determined makes a great deal of sense.
All right.
Because you can't really have people at the bargaining table who are engaged in an all-out political war meeting their responsibilities. Therefore, I think getting that delayed was a very good move.
All right. Now then, what more can I do or should I do in your judgment on the steel thing, and the, particularly with the steel prices and the steel owners?
Well, I think that...
You know, it's a low-cost, it's a low-profit industry. They're way down, although they're up from last year, but...
Because they've had high volume.
That's right. They're 26% profits over last year, but 26% of one, just 26, you see. And it's not like 26% of 10 or something, but it's better. But they claim that their lead's gone up and everything else has gone up, and they have just made some marginal increases where they were required to keep from losing money. That's their story. Now, I think I probably got to listen to it if they want to, but... I guess I just got to urge them, for God's sakes, to not raise any prices, and of course they probably will, won't they?
Well, I would hope, if I were in your position, I would have my people in the Commerce Department and people from the Council of Economic Advisors sitting down with their technicians and going over the details of how they justify the increases in these areas, which cover about 12% of their production. And I would keep the heat on, hoping that you could minimize the number of items in which the price increase was applied. And I think if that heat is kept on, they probably will keep it down to a minimum, and I think you can get away with that. I can understand your desire to avoid a head-on collision like Kennedy had. I don't think that that would be desirable. But I think unless you keep maximum heat on, and I think the way to do that is to have your technical people saying, we'd like to know why you justified this increase. What are the facts? And so that they will know that if they contemplate extending the price increase to additional items, that you will require them to justify those increases.
Yeah.
I think if that's done, you will keep enough pressure on so that they will minimize the spread of this thing. And I think if we can minimize the spread of it, you can live with it.
All right. Now, that's my idea, and that coincides with what my economic people think and what Connor thinks.
Well, I think it would be good if after the technical people, Commerce and the Council of Economic Advisors and the other people, that you could sit down with a fellow like Joe Block and a couple of those fellows. Joe Block was, I think, very helpful in the earlier problem with Jack Kennedy, and I think he's a responsible person.
He was. Of course, he kicked us null.
I know he did. I'm aware of that. Yeah. But I still think that if you sat down with Joe Block and a couple people like that, very quietly, no fanfare, I think it might be very helpful.
All right. Now, we've got some gimmicks in this budget that you don't know about. But they're pretty strong ones, like the lower withholding and some other things that will put some real money in circulation we are doing. We are getting about $3 billion off of some of our cost-conscious programs in defense and others. And we're going to add to that $3-odd billion, which will give us about $6-odd billion in the field of education and health and poverty, and will really give us the biggest breakthrough. It's a real turning point if we can get them passed. We don't know what the committees will do. We've got to mass our folks to put them through. Kermit Gordon's pretty satisfied, and Gardner Ackley and my boys along that line. We've got some more tax reduction coming. We've got some excise tax reductions, and they think that we're going to do all right. We're putting $1.5 billion in poverty, more than doubling what we had last year. We had 700. We're putting $1.5 billion in education. It gives us a total of $8.536 billion this year. When we came in, we had $700 million in 1961. We've moved it up to $8.5 billion. That it does include everything we can stretch to call education. National Science Foundation scholarships, Comic Energy scholarships, Fulbright scholarships, space scholarships and all that, but that's all education, even if it's a higher level. But my $1.5 billion goes to kids under $2,000. And right at the bottom, our health is going to run between around 300 and next year 900. I try to keep them talking about next year, but if we can get the groundwork laid and the breakthrough, we think that we're in reasonably good shape. Our program for national cost us a few hundred million, but we're